Borag Thung Earthlitz, and welcome to the 2080 Thrillcast. Before we get started, we just heard the very sad news that artist Edmund Bagwell has passed away. He was not only artist on Judge Dredd and Indigo Prime, but also the absolutely incredible series Cradle Grave that he did with John Smith. Yesterday, we heard the news that he had passed away from pancreatic cancer. So our thoughts go out to all his friends, his family, and his fans. The family have asked that any donations in his name please be given to pancreatic cancer charities. $400 million citizens, everyone a potential criminal. Yes, you've probably heard the news, Earthlitz, that Judge Dredd is coming to TV screens with Judge Dredd Mega City 1. We're all very excited here at Rebellion and 2000 AD about what promises to be a fantastic show produced in-house here in Oxford. On this episode, we're going to be talking to producer Brian Jenkins, executive producer Jason Kingsley, and executive producer from IM Global, Mark Stern. But before we do, make sure you go along to the official Facebook page for the TV show. That's facebook.com/MegaCity1TV, as well as the Twitter account, which is @MegaCity1TV. And megacity1.co.uk is where you can sign up for the latest news about this Zarjazz TV series that is being produced here at Rebellion. Now, it's been 5 years since Judge Dredd last hit the screens in the 2012 movie Dredd, starring Carl Urban and Olivia Thirlby. And the fan campaign calling for more from Judge Dredd has never really let up. Well, your prayers have been answered by almighty Grudd, and Judge Dredd Mega City 1 is going to be hitting screens sometime in the next few years, very early stages of production. But amidst the avalanche of inquiries, emails and phone calls they've been getting, it was fantastic to sit down with Brian and Jason to talk about their plans for the new TV show and also what they want to see from Mega City 1. So it's wonderful to welcome into the Thrillcast sound booth producer Brian Jenkins.
Hello.
And CEO of Rebellion and one of the executive producers of the show, Jason Kingsley.
Greetings, everybody.
So, guys, let's talk Judge Dredd Mega City 1.
I mean, yes.
Really exciting news. Everybody went wild last week when we announced it. Let's kind of try and flesh out as much as we can at this early stage what people can expect. In terms of, well, you know what? I'm going to ask the most pressing question first.
Okay, go for it then.
Oh, no. Right at the very beginning.
Yeah,
you're going to throw, throw a bouncer at us, aren't you?
Start at least wait till the end.
My way down. Carl Urban.
Yes, there's been a lot of interest in that question. I'm going to leave it to you.
The great thing about Carl is he's actually a big fan of the comic book, and he's a really nice guy, and I know him well enough to speak to him personally. We have had many conversations prior to this about all sorts of different things, and he's also a very busy full-time professional actor, so we are going to have some long and complicated conversations, I would imagine, and we'll see where we go. It's too early to tell yet, but if we can use him, then and he is available to us, then I think that would be absolutely brilliant. But as anybody that actually works in drama or putting a project together knows, as many a slip twixt cup and lip, and there's always possibility he'll be too busy. There's always possibility he'll be busy. His schedule for other movies won't allow him to be. We don't know at this stage, but we want to work with the best people we can find for this massive project, and it's incredibly exciting. But it's a long distance run rather than a quick sprint to the corner shop. So we've got a lot of work to do.
And in the actual announcement, we went out of our way to tell people that this is an ensemble cast. So we're not talking about it being hours and hours and hours of Judge Dredd, whoever plays him, running around shooting people. This is much broader than this, isn't it?
Yeah, can I answer it? I
mean, yeah, okay. Fine. So go ahead. If you do it wrong,
you can take me out of the back and shoot me. Yeah. Okay, so
justice has a price.
It does. Justice does have a price. So look, I mean, the thing is it's. The Megacity one as a whole is a fantastic place. And I think one of the most exciting things about it, there's an opportunity to do so much amazing storylines and play around with bits and pieces. Now, obviously, we want to keep in the favourites that people love. And we also want to be able to introduce our own characters because however much, I mean, can I mention Dredd the movie? I think I've just had.
Yeah.
The thing is a lot of people from, especially from the tweets and the messages that we've seen, and there's been some fantastic messages. And I've got to say, I was literally blown away by the response. And we were
technically not literally because you're actually sitting here. Metaphorically,
briefly winded by the response.
He's a big man. To be shot as well.
I was knocked down and then I got back up again. But I was actually amazed by the messages. And obviously, you know, we want to be able to create characters of our own that we can introduce new people to the experience.
Yeah, well, we've got the library to draw from. We've got the whole history, but we also want to make a really good narrative. So there may be character types or maybe personalities we need to introduce for the drama that perhaps haven't been seen in the comic book. We don't want to be limited to what's in the comic book. But at the same time, we're going to draw from that as much as we can. So we're in that stage now. We're actually constructing stories, putting things together, working out what we really want to try and see if we can get in.
I mean, we've been working tirelessly, you know, for quite a while now, developing storylines. I mean, like I said in the video, I mean, the conversations that we've had, even today, I mean, we've been in mass conversations.
Do you know what? It's just incredibly exciting as a project to work on. And the enthusiasm carries across, the whole office, quite frankly.
And also, it comes back from the fans as well.
Yes.
I mean, the response that we've had, just 2000 AD fans, mm-hmm. Dredd the movie fans, Carl Urban fans, you know, we've had a lot of feedback.
And Olivia Thirlby as well.
Yeah.
You know,
it'd be
really interesting for her to reprise the role. I don't know what she's doing in her professional life, but I felt she did a really good job with Anderson.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like an Anderson movie, though.
Well, we could go into a whole conversation about the DNA.
But the other side of this is that I think something I think is quite important is that a lot of people have wanted Dredd 2. And unfortunately, this isn't Dredd 2. Mm. And for us, the benefits of this is that we'll be able to give, you know, 2000 AD fans that love the background of Mega City 1 and the enjoyment and the fantastic stories, as Jason said in the last, you know, those crazy video, those crazy stories like Couch Potato.
Right, I love that one.
Which is absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And I had to go back and read it
I also love other places, you know. Yeah. We're also talking about Mega City 1 here. You know, there's the Cursed Earth.
Yes.
There are all sorts of elements of Mega City 1. You know, I always love the Undercity stories and the Big Smelly.
Yeah.
And there's some fantastic places to visit. Whether we'll get a chance to visit all of them in even a long form TV show, maybe we'll have to wait for season 4 or 5 to encounter
Easy
the Ferg.
But there's loads of great places that we've really sort of looked at, and you know, one of the key things is said, well, do we set our story where do we set our story? And we've talked about, you know, central. We've talked about whether it's on the outskirts of Mega City, or do we set our story in Cursed Earth? I mean, there's a lot of interesting places.
So long as there's a chase through the Agrodome.
Absolutely. We've got to do the Smokatorium. We need to play around with all sorts of different things. But, you know, there's so many places we can go. And quite frankly, that's one of the problems. We've got such a wonderful and deep library of the minds of brilliant writers and artists to kind of riff from that. What do we leave out is actually the issue.
That's the hard part.
Not what do we put in?
I mean, to be fair, we've sat and put together season one and we've gone through that many times and gone, you know, this is 2 seasons, we've got to cut this down a bit, you know, it's getting bigger and bigger, let's look at this and maybe change this and save this for later on, you know, and plus there's all these amazing sort of like, you know, crazy stuff that's happening there. Characters, all these, and we've talked about, I mean, we've talked about different places and stuff, but then you've got all the subcultures, all the different gangs and, characters and stuff. Well,
just citizens themselves. There are, fantastic series of stories you could do just about the lives of citizens.
Yeah.
The job riots, you know, everybody's thousands of people turn up for a job. I mean, just that in itself is a fantastic illustration of Megacity.
A little near the knuckle for these days.
Well, true, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the 2000 AD's always had that, you know. Yeah. It talks about, you know, the culture and political environment that's happening within that era, sort of thing, you know, from the 70s all the way up to now. We've always had this very strong view of putting across political views and stuff.
I think it's good that 2000 AD stories are sometimes a little uncomfortable at times. Mm, and I think that's sort of the spice. That's the difference between what Matt Smith and the team do with the comic book. It's the difference between that comic and perhaps others that are, you know, superhero style or whatever. I'm sure the superhero comics sort of deal with difficult issues sometimes, but I really think
what cape to wear?
Well, there is that. I mean, there's also limitations to what you can do if you're a superhero.
Yeah.
They have superpowers and that kind of
ruins their day.
Well, it means that it's a little harder to challenge them.
Yeah.
Whereas we, broadly speaking, with 2000 AD, we have extraordinary people in extraordinary situations, but they're very rarely without their major flaws and without a kind of complex human backstory, which is really how you access and care about a person in a story.
Yeah. But they're always, what I find is we're reading the stories, they're mostly always human. They're human stories.
Unless they're mutants or aliens.
Okay, unless they're mutants.
Hey, mutants are people too. I mean, let's start getting...
That's true. What about, aliens then? Yeah, that was a bit of a Freudian slip for me there, wasn't it? Yeah, mutants are humans too. But, you know, the aliens and the, you know, recently...
I need that T-shirt.
Recently, the Sensitive Clegg storyline, which absolutely love that.
That is really cool.
He tries to integrate with society, and the fact that he's a 12-foot-high, carnivorous, reptilian... attack beast upsets people.
Who loves poetry, understandably,
it's exactly what would happen if you were.
But I think
mild-mannered 12-foot attack beast. Yeah.
But that's the nice thing about it, isn't it? Because there's always something there for someone.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're into the alien stories or the human stories. Well, I'd love to see Clegg's in it one day. But that's another thing, you know, it leads us onto a whole load of like different stories and different things that we could bring in. But, you know, Mega City 1, I think, is so ecliptic in itself, so massive, and there's so much that can come together through it. I think that you'll find that people will be quite excited.
Well, let's
that was a bit of a rubbish thing.
Yeah, I know. Do you know what? I wanted to say, it's really hard. I really want to tell them what's going to go on.
Some of the stuff was great, but you fluffed the landing.
Yeah, I know. But do you know what? I really want to tell everybody what's going on, but I'm finding it really hard.
I don't have a gun to your head at this exact moment.
I am going to get beaten up.
On a little pulley system.
Exactly.
Let's talk about tone of the series, because what a lot of people have identified is that you have... the general consensus, I'm not speaking from a personal point of view here, but the general consensus seems to be the Stallone movie, the 1995 movie, got a lot of the look correct, but was quite campish. Then at the other end of the scale, you've got the Dread movie, which was gritty and harsh, and many people feel that while it nailed the character of Dread, it didn't necessarily, for budgetary reasons, get entirely the environment. Where on that scale are we pitching this?
Well, I would like to say we'd take the best from both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, broadly speaking, that's what we're looking at. We need the grand kind of statements in the Stallone movie.
Yeah.
And that movie has its great points as well. I loved the Angel Gang. I thought the Angel Gang, the slight confusion over the ABC Warrior to me turning up in Mega City 1.
Yeah.
Kind of, I was like, what's an ABC Warrior doing there?
Oh, well, never really mind.
We really
well.
Liked it. We wanted it to be in the film.
But that's not part of Dread's continuity. Anyway, it kind of is now. I guess robots are.
Yeah. Robots are a big thing in Mega City 1.
Yeah, but, so I want to bring that out. But I would say that the sort of realistic, gritty street tones will form a major part of the TV show. But we've also got to have the sort of unrealistic, if you like, the kind of larger than life insanity sort of overlaying that too. So I'd say kind of almost trying to get the best of both of those and mush it together and then end up with really good long form telly.
I mean, I'm pretty much in agreement there. I mean, because for me, the greatest thing about the Stallone movie was the kiss at the end. No, the greatest thing for me was the city.
Multiple heart attacks across the world just occurred.
It just, everybody just died, didn't they? No, for me, it was the city, because when I saw that big opening scene where you see them arrive at Mega City One and you the taxi's flying over, for me, that was perfect. When I watched the new movie, everything inside the building absolutely amazing.
But I mean, one of the interesting things is, of course, Mega City One can have both of those kind of places. Meg Central can be that incredible vertical megalopolis where and nobody goes to the city floor, nobody goes to street level. Street level is one of those things that people go, have we got to go to street level? Yeah, we have. Well, that's really bad, we better take backup. And so we can play around with that. I think also in terms of timelines, I always get the feeling that Dredd was probably slightly earlier than Stallone's interpretation, you know.
Definitely.
So you kind of, one's almost a bit of a prequel. So yeah, that broadly speaking, I think that's what we're going to try and do. There are lots of good and some bad things, and we want to try and get rid of the bad stuff.
I mean, we've got a, there's, I mean, I still to this day, I'm still quite amazed that there's all these different factions within the fan base, and obviously you've got to satisfy each need, sort of thing. And it's been really nice seeing the expectations popping up, and some of them are quite close to what we're trying to do, which has been really, really good.
It is interesting seeing reading sort of fan feedback, even though it's not addressed to us necessarily. It's just sort of amongst forums.
Oh, there was
and
one
going,
that said,
"That's an interesting idea."
Yeah, there was one that said, "Dear producers," which I had to read, and I gave it a little thumbs up because he went, "Dear producers." I thought, what a lovely young chap.
Terribly polite.
Yeah, he is.
The bit that followed was, "I will kill you if you don't."
That was weird. That bit. That just really.
I do occasionally dive bomb people's sort of Facebook threads when they're talking about stuff, and they say they make some statement. And like, will it be based on this story? Not if I've got anything to do with it, which I have.
But that's quite cool. Just to let you know, we are on certain Facebook pages.
We are watching. We are watching. There is a no.
We're out there. If you can find us, then you will have. No, but it's interesting. It's been actually quite interesting to see. There's a lot of expectations of how the look and the style is going to be.
The great thing is a lot of engaged, really positive people, and it's nice to see that. Obviously, the internet's filled with all sorts of different characters.
Lots of fanatical people.
Yeah, absolutely. But and we want to do our best for those people as well. But it's also interesting seeing kind of rational discussions. We are listening. We are watching.
Yeah, I mean, it's important, you know, because it is important. I mean,
well, we're fans. And we happen to be in a position of power and control and guidance.
Well, you maybe. But...
True.
I just do whatever he bids. But no, he's right. He's right in every way. I mean, it's been nice looking at it, and we do have this chance to create something, especially. I mean, it helps when you own it as well, because
we don't have too many other people standing there always.
I mean, was this ultimately because let's face it, it's been a very long 5 years for many fans, and there's been various false starts where people have got suddenly excited. There was an April Fool's joke that did the rounds as well.
Oh, I hated that.
Really made a lot of people very angry.
It upsets people because people are so engaged.
Exactly. But then for 5 years on, when you would, I think, necessarily think that perhaps the enthusiasm had died down, the sheer reaction to the announcement shows that this fandom is not just alive and well, but
it was
growing.
Absolutely astonishing. Yeah. It was, I mean, I've never seen anything quite like that. I don't think there was any kind of genre or specialist site that didn't have that as the major story. And the only things I've seen equivalent scale are sort of Star Wars type of scale releases, which is very gratifying that Dredd and Dredd's World Mega City One has got such a pickup from the fandom. So, you know.
I mean, we were literally, when it was announced, three of us were sitting there, like, reading quotes and stuff. It was amazing.
It also helps us with negotiations. Yeah. I mean, we're doing this ourselves, so we're going to be hiring the right kind of people. We've got to hire the right professionals. We are going to be filming this as much as we can in the UK.
Yeah.
And we're going to be using, you know, as much of the resources as we've got available within Rebellion to do that. And having that kind of feedback on the internet and forums and stuff is a very important component to the sort of sales equation, because other people have got to invest money in this. And if they see that there are hundreds of thousands or millions of people who've listened and liked and followed something, that gives them a level of comfort that when we do finish the project, get it out there, that lots of people will buy it. And at the end of the day, it's creative, but it's also got to be a business proposition.
Yeah.
And it's great for the UK as well. So it's been nice to make something this big within the, you know, bounds of the UK.
And I think a lot of people have this misconception that it's just going to be slapped together and it's going to become very
further from the truth.
Yeah, and it's going to be very cheap looking and stuff. Yeah. But we're talking a very large scale budget for...
If we get the budget we're looking for, we're talking, which I'm pretty sure we will, we're talking about one of the more expensive TV shows.
Here in the UK.
Here in the UK, yeah.
And some of the US TV as well.
Yeah. So, you know, and we do know about CGI and computers and
we
stuff.
Do know about production, because some of the questions that I've been seeing is like, you know, if they don't do this, then they're going to suffer this. And if they don't do this, this and this, it's going to be like this and the production will go down. And, you know, we've got a strong history between a lot of people that work within this and the people that we've been hiring that have been working in production. This is probably my 25th year working in film and television.
Yeah. So
Jason has also had that experience.
One of the things we are quite good at in the games industry specifically is knowing we don't know stuff. And so one of the important things for us when even starting to tackle this project was, let's find the right professionals who know what they're doing and get them in.
And they still haven't found them.
I was going to say, you ruined my joke. Unfortunately, we couldn't find any of them.
I knew he was going to say that.
You like it?
Yeah, I did. I set you up for that one.
It did. But the thing is, you know, it's what I found unique about working in this company is, if you know when someone says, I'm not sure how to do that, they'll go off and they then come back and go, right, got it sussed. So you've got some really great talent within the company. I mean, we've been doing most of the pretty much all the production concept work here. And they've got some amazing talent here.
Really good concept artists.
Yeah, and we've been very lucky. We had the poster was designed here. You know, we've been putting together the scheduling for it. You know, Jason's led the helm all the way, sort of thing, and got us through some really tough sort of moments with the production, especially, you know, through the negotiations and stuff. And it's been really, really cool. So it's not a quick, easy thing to make. It's, you know, we're trying to develop something which everybody's going to really get into, and people that don't know about it or know anything about 2000 AD are going to go, I've got to look at the comics.
My goal would be people encounter this as really good sort of sci-fi action based TV show and go, that's based from a comic, is it? Oh, I wonder what that comic's all about. And then so we introduce a whole bunch of new,
that's the thing,
new squags.
When we started talking about this, one of the things that it was a conversation we had very early on was my recommendation was very much that everything should always keep feeding back to the comic. Like, you know, when we do marketing about it, we must never forget that ultimately this is the comic book that we know and love. So anything that sustains it and means that it's going to last another 40 years is to the benefit.
Well, I've said this to you before. Whilst technically we're the owners, I actually think of us as the guardians of 2000 AD. And that kind of brings with it a slightly different slant on the way you do things. It's not how much money can we make out of this, how quickly, and all that kind of stuff. It is how can we make this really great in 40 years' time, in 50 years' time. I'd like to think that the 40th anniversary celebrations were brilliant fun. I really enjoyed that. It was wonderful to see that whole event kind of go off so incredibly well. Well done for being involved in organising that.
It was Owen.
Yeah. All right.
Credit to him.
He's on holiday at the moment.
But, you know, I'd like that to be another 40 years on. And I'd like to introduce another generation of people to something which is inspired and it has inspired many people in the creative industries around the world. So yeah. I think we underestimate the influence of 2008 AD quite often. It might not be as big as some of the other kind of comic brands out there, but it's certainly one of the bigger ones. And if you ask pretty much anybody who's in the creative industries at any level of a certain age, they will certainly, almost certainly have heard of 2000 AD and quite often go, oh yeah, oh I remember that, that was brilliant, that got me into making telly or got me into X, Y and Z sort of product. So
yeah, it's definitely, I got to say, growing up as a kid, it was definitely an influence on my life. Mm. And, you know, okay, yeah, I'll admit it right now. I mean, ABC Warriors loved it. I mean, for me, ABC Warriors was the thing. I mean, I think it's Kev Walker when he came on board and started doing the artwork for it.
Oh, yeah, the Chronicles of Chaos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which then, when Joe Pineapples comes back in his transsexual period, I was like, this is the one for me. And at that point, I got back into it and I thought, what have I missed?
Yeah, yeah.
So it made me go back for a bit and like look at stuff. But I've got to say, since being at the company, I've had the privilege to talk to some really clever people that just blow your mind, you know, when you're discussing characters and looking at concepts. I mean, I've been lucky enough to meet a few writers now, which, believe it or not, I still get a bit sort of giggly, you know, even when I see them sort of thing, you know. But it's still something that is, you know, like Jason said, inspires people.
That's something I need to ask about is 2080 talent, because as you've both said, we've got a fantastic roster of writers and artists. And, and you know, the suggestion is always, oh, just get them to do it. But of course, writing comics and writing screenplays are a very different thing. But without revealing too much, we are getting 2080 talent involved in this production.
We need a combination. Again, it's teamwork. We need a combination of people who are thoroughly and completely familiar with Mega City One.
Mm.
Yeah. So writers from the comic book, but also writers that have television scripting experience. Because it is a slightly different, it's very similar, but it's slightly different writing something for TV.
Yeah, I mean, we have already got some writers engaged on it. For us, it's important to have a nice, healthy mix, you know, 2000 AD writers and script writers as well, you know, working together in a nice little room that we lock them in and feed them now and then and water them.
You know what? Writers do write faster if they're hungry.
Yeah.
Really?
That's one of the important things that we have noticed.
To kind of stave off the hunger pangs.
Exactly. Yeah. They start getting the shakes after a while. Yeah. So you've got to give them something to eat. But no, it's been really important to us that, and one of the fundamental things is when I first came here again, when Jason was talking to say, we were sort of saying, you know, it'd be nice to have that mixture because it's really good to have, you know, the knowledge, the background of the comic and the characters along with formatting scripts, laying out, you know, for an entire series, because an entire series is like, what, 13 hours worth of TV?
That's a substantial amount of writing to do, actually. And the tone is very important. And we kind of touched on tone a little bit, but it was sort of on a very broad brushstrokes area. But how it's approached, I think it's important that it's familiar 2000 AD style storytelling as well. Mm. So I want it to be quite compressed. I want us to tell quite a lot of story in one episode. I've watched telly shows and I've thought, it's not much happened in the 25 minutes I've been watching. Genuinely, there isn't much happened. And I don't want people to, I want people to sort of sit back after they've seen one of our shows and go, wow, I'm almost future shocked myself. You know, there's so much crazy stuff happened in one episode.
Yeah, I mean, because you can't have all the characters following the same story. I mean, what's the point of, you know, all the judges following, you know, doing one crime, you know, looking out for one crime. They've got to be other stories within it sort of thing. So we're having, I mean, the other thing is a really long, big story arc with smaller stories in between. So we can see, you know, the wonderful and the strange of Mega City One. Have I just killed the conversation there?
No. He had a thought. He had a look on his face.
Stopped, and my brain went, nope. No.
That's his thinking.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask is...
Well, let the listeners imagine what his thinking face is.
It's like this.
Sketches on a postcard, please, to the nerve centre.
It's not all that dissimilar to my constipation face.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You lowered the tone.
He's so classy.
You went there.
When everybody goes low, go lower.
Lower.
In terms of where people are going to be able to watch this, I mean, you said in the video that's on our YouTube channel 2 years before we'd like to see
that was
anything.
That was kind of an educated guess. Mm. I mean, it might be longer than that. I doubt it'll be shorter than that. But
I mean, we're
that's
looking
a sort of time frame from now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the best thing to say.
I mean, are we
I
talking
say
about
other things? But no,
are we talking about streaming services? Are we talking about free for view?
We just don't know yet. And let's face it, technology changes, so we just don't know. That'll come down to how
our distributors.
Yeah, our distributors, IM Global, are kind of on the case there. We haven't yet got the sort of development package to them that allows them to sort of sell.
That's
this
my
worldwide.
Fault.
Yeah. No, we're working on it. And we want it to be as good as possible.
Yeah, I'll take responsibility for that. But he's right.
Once they've got all of that stuff together, they can go out and then sell it. And then my guess is there are already conversations going on. And that's purely because I sort of know how business works. They're probably wheels within wheels and people saying, I'd really like to get first look at this, please. It sounds really great for our network. But we just don't know at this stage. Yeah. But we want to make it as widely available as possible.
And we do get an email pretty much every day saying, when are you going to send this over?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we do. There's a lot of pressure, and there always is. When people are excited about a project, there's always pressure to get it perhaps before it's right. Mm. Yeah. And one of the things that I won't do is let something out of this studio until I think it's very good.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing about being in development is, you know, we should be able to take a bit of time to make sure the product that we're creating, especially the series for me, is absolutely perfect in every way.
Well, we have the advantage of we're funding the development. So in a lot of cases, people have to get development funding in. They've got a set amount of money they've got to do this thing in. We have the relative luxury of, well, we have limited budgets, but, you know, we're just getting on and doing the best we can in the time we've got.
So it's a trip to the Bahamas for everyone!
Let's actually look beyond Dread, because I've seen a few comments of people going, oh, well, you know, you've already done Dread. Why is it always Dread? Why not Nemesis? Why not ABC Warriors? Why not Zenith? Blah, 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 blah. But, of course, we now have Rebellion Productions as a company. Tell us a little bit about what your vision for Rebellion Productions is.
Well, in the past, what we've done is we've done licensing. We've licensed things out to other people. We've kind of guided that development, and we have allowed other people to play with our toys. We're not doing that anymore.
No.
We're not going to let other people play with our toys. We'll maybe invite them over to the house to play with our toys.
Yeah, we might let one person play with our toys.
Not let them out of the house to play with the toys. I think I've stretched this toy playing metaphor far too far.
What kind of toys are we talking about?
It's not good. Yes. So the point is, we now have a structure in place. We've got experts in place, and we will be developing more stuff. Mm. We don't know what, but I've got a number of ideas. I've got some, you know.
Well, we do know. Can't say anything. No. We can't say anything. But
we've got some strong ideas.
Yeah, we've got some strong ideas. I mean, and this is down again to conversations that we've had where you've gone, you should read that. And then this pile of comics appear from 2000 AD and graphic novels.
One of the complexities of Dread is that it's been going on since issue 2, or issue 1 if you count the advert for Judge Dread in issue 2 as being Judge Dread in issue 1. Just point there.
Wow, that just went straight over my head.
I'm actually.
But, you know, that whole vast catalogue of backstory actually brings with it its own problems. But there's obviously, we've got the sort of golden age favourites, but there's a whole bunch of modern stories that I think are exciting in a different way. And some of those are closed. You know, they have a beginning, a middle and an end, and they're done. You know, are we going to talk? We could talk about them. Things that I personally like.
Yeah.
So this isn't necessarily something. So I love the Leviathan story.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
I love the Leviathan story.
What was that?
Nothing.
Yeah. I love the Leviathan story. I loved Absalom.
Mm. Oh, I love
Gordon's
Absalom.
Work on Absalom. I think that's really interesting. You know, so those are two. I like Kingdom as well. Kingdom is one of my favourites. How you do that as a TV show?
That's a tough one. There's a lot of
animation.
I think it would possibly be an
animation.
Don't
know. And then you know, also I have a soft spot for Shotgun Shooter, Bill Savage.
Oh, Bill Savage.
Yeah. I was just
Shotgun
completely
shooter.
Blanking.
You know, Shotgun Shooter, car!
Oh, yeah.
We actually got to see the process in your mind and where you were going with it. It was great.
It clicked over.
So Bill Savage has always been an interesting character for me.
Yeah.
And also from a perspective of a drama, how would that work on TV? That would probably be quite difficult TV to make, because it's about an insurgency but from our perspective. Yeah. And
oh, he's a truck driver, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I've just clicked. Yeah, yeah.
So Bill Savage, the Vulcans invade and take over. So
that's right, yeah.
So Invasion 1999.
Yeah.
When I first read that, that was the future.
Yeah. And look how wrong it was.
Yeah. But there's some really interesting story components in that. You know, what would you do in those circumstances? So I think there's an interesting idea there. Not all of it necessarily would need to be long form. Some of these could be one-offs. You could imagine a sort of one-hour special about that kind of thing. I just don't know. But it's not like we've got a limited pot of interesting ideas to draw from.
And to be honest, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to get beaten up by my boss.
I won't beat you up. You're too big. Unless I've got a horse and a lance.
And he's got weapons. What I was going to say is we have put a slate together, which is important.
All right, fine.
We have got.
You're going to give the game.
I'm going to say.
Go on.
Do you know, his stuff was really exciting. I've got nothing to say.
But I will say
we've got a slate, and that's as far as I'm going.
Dread is obviously a shoe in because lots of people have heard about it. North American market's very important still for this kind of drama. So North American TV. So Dread is an obvious way in, and Dread's incredibly exciting, and there's lots to tell there. But there's a whole bunch of other things. So once we're up and running, we'll be going out and developing more.
Yeah. And by Dread, he means Mega City 1, not a second part to the movie.
Well, yeah. It's a short form. I'll call it Mega City 1.
I just want to get that. Everybody knows it's Mega City 1.
Dread's World.
MC1. Yeah. Tell you folks. But no, I've got to say, I agree. I mean, it's, there's such an abundance of fantastic, I'm going to use the word literature because I want to sound smart.
Yeah.
material.
Literature. Comics and literature.
Yeah, it is. You know, there's such an abundance of this beautiful work here.
You failed, by the way.
Did I?
You didn't sound smart there, yeah.
Bugger. I didn't sound smart.
Actually. I'm teasing you. Don't worry. Don't lose your cool. We can always rewind.
No, I'm joking. But the nice thing about it is that there is a tremendous amount of work here that you go through and you think, that's a TV series. And you read for the next one and you go, that's a movie. That's a TV series. And literally our desks went from being a pile to two separate piles. Then the pile shrunk a bit because we went, actually, what would we really like to make? I'm a big fan of like the ABC Warriors. You know, I love their stories. Realistically making it, it's very expensive. But you look at things like, you know,
CGI.
There's all these elements that you have to put it. Do you do suits?
Pixar do some lovely work.
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it's commercial product that you're looking for that you can get out there into the market that people will be a fan of. I mean, I hate using the word product, but I'm using it anyway.
It is a business at the end of the day. It's got to be a business. We've also got the Abaddon series of books, of course, and some of those are very interesting. So
might be something.
We're looking through those as well.
I'm not telling you what it is, am I? There might be a. but no, there is. It's like you've not only just got like 2000 AD, there's two publishing houses.
Yes.
You know, so exactly. There's a lot
I don't
of stuff.
Really want to, I don't want to run before we walk in this area. I mean, but once we get this one going properly and sort of in a big way and we get into principal photography, that'll be a very exciting moment for us because then we'll be, at the moment, we're still before we start yet. We're still in the prepping phase.
We're in development.
And as I said, there's a long way to go, but once we prove we can do this, then I think there are going to be a lot of people wanting to work with us, wanting to work for us. That's going to be very exciting because there's not enough good stuff on telly.
Not anymore.
There will be.
But there is a lot of, we've got a lot that we're doing. I want to be able to say what we're doing. But let me just say one thing. I will say this. The nice thing about this company is not just the bosses, but the people that work here, but everybody's very passionate about how and things that they do here. And you get to see that when you wander around the different departments and you get to see all the amazing work that's being done. You know, and when I say there's like, you know, publishing houses here, there's like books and books and books. I could literally make a movie of every single book that's there. I'd probably die a very happy man.
We should mention the fact, of course, we've now got the old Egmont library. Absolutely classic characters. The Leopard from Lime Street. There's all sorts of interesting characters.
The Leopard Man?
He was bitten by a radioactive leopard.
Of course.
And he's literally a British Spider-Man.
But a leopard. Not very heavily disguised, but he's a leopard. But
it's not like getting bitten by a spider, though, is it?
I don't know. Leopard do more damage, potentially.
Well,
a bigger superstar. But the point is, he goes around rescuing cats from trees and solving the theft of milk bottles. And it's a very British type of superhero story.
What
and
a great
his costume he costume he gets from a theatrical shop, doesn't
he?
But we've got all of those as well. So that's
comedy in itself.
We've actually got a golden age of comic books to sort of, republish, bring back to the market. There's all the girls' comics.
Yeah.
There's fantastic so-called girls' comics that were very specifically sort of separated out by sex in those days. There was boys' comics and there were girls' comics. But
there's like some now.
Fantastic stories there as well. And some of those being brought back in graphic novel form.
Yeah.
And they're almost forgotten. There's a whole chunk of people's childhoods there, which people have probably forgotten they read. And then when you show them, here's a copy of Misty, you can see their brain churning and going, oh, that was fantastic.
Brain churning at the moment. I've actually never heard of Misty until I joined here.
No. I think a lot of people hadn't. And that's the whole point.
When did it come out, though?
Sorry?
When did Misty come out?
It was in the early
80s. In the 80s.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I might have remembered it then.
But you weren't.
You're too young to remember,
Brian. What do you mean? I'm 46.
You weren't a girl in the 80s. So,
some say that.
Yeah. Just the way it was. Yeah. Last question. And this is.
It better be good, Mulcher.
Shut up. This may be a difficult one to answer.
Okay.
Very exciting times for Rebellion, very exciting times for everybody who works here, very exciting times for everyone who is a fan of Dread and a fan of 2000 AD. But like I said, it's been 5 years since the Dread movie.
Mm.
What changed that has suddenly allowed us to announce this to forward?
That's very simple. That's to do with the way we publish our games. So the rise in digital distribution, we now self-fund and self-publish our own computer games, which means we're much more in control of our own destiny. It means that we get more of the pie. So if a game costs X, we get much more back when somebody buys and plays one of our games. So that's given us a bit more cash, and that cash we can use to do other exciting things. So that's sort of broadly where it is. And also sort of perhaps business confidence as well. Mm. We've gone from work for hire to doing stuff for ourselves. And when that's successful, you think, oh, actually, that wasn't as dreadfully difficult as we thought it might be.
See what you did there.
We can make it happen ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I think now is a really good time to be doing what we're doing.
And plus, it's nice to not let people play with our toys.
Yes, yeah.
It's nice to be able to do our own things.
Very final thing. We have a lot of very expectant Judge Dredd fans out there.
Yes.
Not just Judge Dredd fans, but Dredd fans as well as we've seen in the division of comments. What's the thing you want to say to them now at the beginning of this process? Is there something you want to reassure them about or enthuse them about what's coming up?
If I was them, I'd be exceptionally excited, but temper that excitement with the realization it's going to take us a long time to get this done. Nobody's going to be able to buy the box set in 6 weeks. You know, this isn't pre-publicity for the release of the show. This is kind of pre-publicity for us to even start making it. So what I would ask is a certain indulgence from the fans. If they can continue to follow us and continue to, chuck in ideas and support us as brilliantly as they have been doing, that would be wonderful. But also to be a bit patient with us. And there'll be tons of rumours flying around about who's involved, who's not involved. And if they could just try to avoid responding too vigorously to random rumours on the internet. If this is a success, and it is going to be, everybody will want a piece of it and everybody will be involved. And the trouble is with that, then people start speculating speculation follows speculation follows speculation. It becomes a snowball rolling downhill based on nothing other than somebody's idle speculation. And that's great. And that's really exciting and fun. But at the same time, we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of, there's many hundreds of thousands of staff hours to kind of grind through writing those stories, working hard, putting the production together. So if they could just bear with us and make sure they give us enough space as well as enthusiasm, that would be brilliant.
And I'd like to say that it's impossible to get your tooth fixed in Budapest for £400.
I've just fallen through a mental wormhole and I haven't got a clue what's going on.
It was just this comment on the YouTube video of YouTube that all these things say, bring back Carl Urban, can't wait for this moment. Yeah, yeah. And just one bloke saying to Brian, mate, get your tooth fixed, £400, Budapest, push.
I love that guy.
That's brilliant. No, I mean, but I'm going to say what Jason said, basically. But look, at the end of the day, I think it's important to say that it's not Dread 2. And a lot of people have been going, this is not what I asked for, and all these sort of weird things. But at the end of the day,
they don't even know what we're doing, to be honest. So no, how can they say it isn't what they're looking
for?
But
we're trying to create a TV series that is going to capture the comic, the thoughts and the love that the fans have for, the characters. And we're trying to create something that's going to be exceptionally exciting and that you're going to want to tune in and see what's going to happen in the next episode. And, it's hard catering for all these different people. At the end of the day, we're trying to create a TV show that they're all going to enjoy.
We want to make more than one season.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
We want to make 5 or 6, 10 seasons of this. So yeah. we're not lacking in ambition.
And maybe some spin-offs. I'm just ruining it for everybody now. But there's been a lot. But the nice thing about the speculation, we've sort of been saying it's a bad thing to speculate, but there's been a lot of things, and I've got to say
it's
one thing.
Not going to stop anybody.
No. But I will say this
please
one thing.
Please, everybody, stop speculating.
What I meant was just give us the space. Don't get too cross.
There's one guy on YouTube. I'm just going to say this. There's one guy on YouTube that gets it, and I've been watching all these videos and stuff, and he got it.
Was it that really excited Scotsman?
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome. But no, it's not him. And there was a lovely lady in New York that was talking about shows and stuff like that. She did a fantastic piece as well. And another guy who did a lovely piece. I mean, it was really quick. Mm. These videos were going up like, boom, they were up there. And we're like, we've only just announced it. But there's this one guy, I will say he's in Ireland, and he got it. And it was really lovely. And all the response that we've had, keep it coming. I'm on a certain Facebook group and I've been watching everything everybody says. Metal Mickey, somebody posted up who would play Walter the Robot, and somebody posted up Metal Mickey, and I thought that was absolutely brilliant. but it's nice to see the enthusiasm, and that's what's going to drive this and keep it going.
Very important part of it.
Yeah. Does that mean we're ended?
I was pausing.
Is that for dramatic effect? You didn't do it very well.
Yeah, we're done.
Fantastic.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
That was good. That was a good chat. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yeah. Oh, are they still here?
I don't know. I think they've wandered off. Well, thanks to Jason and to Brian for sitting down and talking so fulsomely about what they intend for Judge Dredd Megacity 1. Very exciting times here at 2000 AD. Someone else who's involved in the direction and the look and the feel of the show is executive producer Mark Stern from IM Global, who are signed up as the distributors for the show. And I was able to get him on the phone on the West Coast of America to talk about his hopes for Judge Dredd Megacity 1. So it's great to welcome Mark onto the 2000 AD Thrillcast. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about IM Global's role in Judge Dredd Megacity 1, because you're dealing with the distribution at this stage, aren't you?
Yes, that's right. We're going to be distributing the TV series both domestically in the United States and in the international market. We're also going to be participating as executive producers, me and my partner Stuart Ford, helping the guys at Rebellion make the show.
So let's talk a little bit about your pedigree, because I noticed quite a few commentators picked up on shows that you've worked on before, specifically Battlestar Galactica. What was your role on the reboot of BSG?
So I was running original programming at the Sci-Fi Channel when we greenlit the series with Ron Moore and David Icke.
And how much does that involve kind of day-to-day stuff or looking at the tone of things or, you know, was it a hands-on role or was it more kind of helping guide it to broadcast?
Well, it's a great question. And I will say that it's a little of both. Certainly that show was very much Ron and David's baby. Mm. They were the hands-on day-to-day producers who really made it happen. My role as a network executive on it, and I think on that show in particular, was really to give them the support that they needed, and that support may be in resources to make sure that they had the money and the budget that they needed, or what we call breakage, if there's additional costs that are required. Sometimes that role required me to be an advocate with the folks in New York. The interesting thing about sci-fi is that it's bifurcated between Los Angeles, where all the programming is developed, and New York, where the rest of the company is located. So all marketing and publicity and scheduling, all the rest of the network is in New York. So sometimes as a programmer, you become a real advocate for your show and the needs of your show with the folks in New York, and that's part of the job, is to make sure that that the network is giving the series what it needs. We were very involved in the startup of the series, so involved in decisions around sets and set design and casting and the creative overview and the tone. But all those things were really established and driven by Ron and David.
So with something like Judge Dredd Mega City 1, there's a lot of debate, and we've talked on the podcast with Brian Jenkins and Jason Kingsley about their hopes for how the tone of the series, how it's going to feel, how it's going to look. What are your hopes for how the series is going to come across to audiences?
Well, certainly, I think first and foremost, they are the keepers of the flame. I do look at that relationship very similarly to the one that I had with Ron and David on Battlestar. So, which is to say, really taking their guidance in terms of approach and tone. They know that audience really well. Obviously, as much as I love the comic book series and the movies, they live them. So, really. I think I see it as taking a certain amount of cue off of them in terms of approach. But my personal hope for it is that it really breaks new ground in the way that Battlestar did, in terms of a really cool, high-end character drama, first and foremost, and obviously big kick-ass visual feast of a sci-fi series.
I think just the word kick-ass will make an awful lot of people quite happy.
It's got to be kick-ass. Come on.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, as Jason and Brian have said, it's going to be a long time now until we get anything anywhere near the screen. One thing that people have been asking a lot is, you know, how are we going to be able to see it? Where's it going to be? And without sort of prejudicing any future deals or any future direction, with IM Global handling the distribution, where would you see a series like this debuting?
Gosh, I mean, there's so many different ways. And I think particularly a show with this kind of an appeal, I think we would love to see it on premium, what we call premium cable, which is to say the HBOs and Stars and Showtimes of the world. But there's also great opportunity for it on what we call streamers, which is Netflix and Amazon and Hulu, at least in the States. There's a real opportunity in the obviously in the international market too, and you could certainly see this series on Sky. But it is, as you say, very, very early days. There's lots of different ways to roll this series out, and the cool thing about it for us is to get it into a place where we can take it out competitively to all those places and see which one is going to ultimately be the best home for it.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of, you know, you've mentioned the Dread movie. There's people have said, oh, you know, they tried two movies. Why are they trying a TV series? But it feels that that even at you know, even at IM Global, I mean, there's a lot of enthusiasm for it here. But even at IM Global, there's still a lot of enthusiasm for the character and for the potential here.
I mean, I think this property is made for television. I know that a lot of people say that about a lot of different things, but in this particular case, where you have such a huge world that has been so curated over so many years, and that has so many interesting ways to dip in and explore. It is, you know, one of the things that excited us and me personally about this was, Brian and Jason's approach in that it's not Judge Dredd the series, it's Mega City One. And it is an exploration of, yes, of course, Dredd is going to be involved in it. And it is a world in which he lives, but there's so many other facets of this world to explore, so many other characters to explore, and the best way to do that, I think, is through a television series that is ongoing for multiple years and hundreds of episodes, hopefully, and you really get to dive deep into not just the world, but all the different characters in that world.
What's your feel been on the reaction, because we're a week away from the announcement having gone out. What did the reaction to the news feel like to you?
I mean, I think it's been really encouraging. You know, you never know. You know that there's a rabid fan base. You're never quite sure how much that reaches back into the popular culture or reaches beyond that rabid fan base. And I think one of the most exciting things about this for me is just to see how beloved this thing is with more than just what we call the fanboys. And that it really does strike a chord. I think the themes in this, show, and in Judge Dredd in general really do strike a chord with the world we're living in now. And that's what you want. It resonates, right? Mm-hmm. So it is going to be something that reaches beyond just its very core audience, I believe.
Well, I wanted to ask about that because obviously the political situation in America is one that Dredd has consciously or unconsciously not necessarily predicted, but certainly evoked over the years. And do you think that American audiences will be hungry for something that is on the nose?
I hope so. I think so. I mean, I think it's weirdly prophetic how this comic series, after all these years, only seems to be closer and closer to the truth instead of more and more preposterous. And that's a weird commentary on the world we live in. I do think that it's still, I certainly look at it ultimately as something that is making a commentary on our world, a bit of a satire that allows you to kind of step back and explore those points without it necessarily being too intense or heavy. And there's a certain fun aspect to this too, right? So I think that there's something about that really appeals to people. Is you want to chew over the issues that we're facing, but you don't necessarily want to do it in a way that's going to bum you out. And I think this property kind of gives you permission to do that. And that's what's fun about it.
So let's talk next steps. I mean, obviously, there's a lot that we can't talk about where we're going to go with the series. But in broad terms, you know, what's going to be happening from your end over the next 6 months?
Well, I think the first priority for us is to delve into the materials, the written materials, the scripts, the series overview. We're going to be working really closely with Brian and Jason and the writers that they want to bring into this process to craft something that is going to be really representative of the first few episodes and where the series goes and what it is. And then I think from there, and that's going to take us, as they said, it's going to, that's a process. So that will take us anywhere from 6 months to a year. It depends. Obviously there's a lot to do on this and we want to get it right. And then from there, it's about seeing if we want to attach any particular elements, whether it's a big, interesting director or a big piece of casting. And certainly there have been proponents on that front. But that's still, you know, all to come. Mm. I think the first step for us and the first priority is to get the material into a place that we're all really proud of.
That's all we've got time for. Earthlets, thank you to Brian and to Mark and to Jason for sharing their thoughts, giving us a little peek behind the scenes. There's so much more to come, and we'll make sure that we bring you all the latest on the 2000 AD Thrillcast. Make sure you do sign up for updates at megacity1.co.uk so you can be the first to hear about things like casting, the production, and when eventually we'll be able to see it on our screens. One of the things we love at the 2000 AD Throwcast is you letting us know what you think about this show. So please do leave us some feedback on Facebook, YouTube, and also on iTunes, where all ratings are gratefully received. Thank you very much to the Earthlets who've left reviews recently. And if there's something that you would like to hear on a future episode, don't hesitate to drop us a line at thrillcast@2000adonline.com. That's thrillcast, all one word, at 2000adonline.com. Join us again in 2 weeks' time on the 2000 AD Thrillcast, where we are going to be chatting to the legendary writer, Alan Hebden, which I'm very much looking forward to. He's going to be coming to Oxford to have a chat. We'll lock him in the sound booth until he divulges all the goss about his time working at 2000 AD and beyond. So until next time, Earthlets, Splendid Verthrig.
Fill power levels dangerously high. Alert! Alert! Read 2000 AD every week. Ask your comic book store or newsagent now. Subscribe to the galaxy's greatest comic at 2000adonline.com. Subscribe digitally on our apps for Apple, Android, and Windows 10. And download DRM free copies from 2000adonline.com. Alert! Alert! Stand by for urgent updates. Search for 2000 AD on Twitter and Facebook. Watch the latest videos at youtube.com/2000ADonline and follow on Instagram at insta2000AD. Program complete. Shutting down.